here's a story from The World.
Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte announced this weekend that he is retiring from politics when his term ends next year and not running for vice president as he had planned. This week, across the Philippines, candidates are filing to run for president, including Duterte's daughter, a boxer-turned-senator, and the current mayor of the capital city, Manila. Whoever wins will follow on the heels of an administration that has been tumultuous and sometimes downright shocking. Reporter Ashley Westerman takes a look at the legacy of President Duterte, a bombastic, crass populist, through three specific promises he's made to the Filipino people.
First, let's take a look at Rodrigo Duterte's signature promise.
I propose to get rid of the drugs within 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, get rid of the country's huge drug problem in 3 to 6 months.
One could argue that he made good on that promise.
That's Ross Dugade, a human rights attorney based in Manila. She says this promise played particularly well with middle-class voters who are credited with helping elect Duterte.
Because it was such a visceral topic. A lot of people feel so unsafe in the streets of Manila. And it's been very frustrating living in the Philippines, knowing that a lot of violent crime has been happening.
Right after inauguration in 2016, Duterte immediately launched his now infamous war on drugs, which has drawn the ire of human rights defenders and even an investigation by the International Criminal Court. In the last 5 years, more than 6,000 Filipinos have been killed in drug-related operations, and that number is according to police. Human rights activists estimate the number of these extrajudicial killings is actually 3 or 4 times higher. Still, Dugade says it hasn't gotten to the root of the problem.
It targeted your street peddlers. It targeted even people who are innocent, who are just suspected of dealing with illegal drugs on the streets. And the big drug lords haven't been brought to justice.
The drug war remains popular with Duterte's supporters, she says, so the issue is likely to be huge in next year's election. Another promise Duterte made during his campaign was to, quote, end the insurgencies afflicting the country. The Philippines deals with a widespread communist insurgency, as well as a secessionist rebellion in Mindanao, the country's Muslim south. The Philippines is overwhelmingly Catholic. Muslims only make up about 5% of the population. Here Duterte is in February of 2016, advocating for a more federalist solution for dealing with the secessionists, who are sometimes quite violent in their tactics.
Hindi pwede masama yung dalawa. Kaya federal, bigyan mo sila, bigyan mo.
You can't force them to merge, he says. Instead, let them have their autonomy. And that's what he did, by partnering with secessionist groups to establish the Bangsamoro Organic Law. The landmark 2018 agreement is essentially designed to give Muslims in the region more autonomy. The peace deal is unlike anything his predecessors were ever able to achieve, says military historian Jose Antonio Custodio.
That was a promise of the peace that did push through. Okay, so in a way, one could say that at least with the secessionist, he was a bit more successful than with the CPP-NPA.
That's the armed wing of the Communist Party of the Philippines. Custodio says that when Duterte first took office, he ordered talks with them, but they never really got off the ground.
There were still operations going on and ambushes going on, and eventually it led to a deterioration of relations between both sides.
Custodio says Duterte is leaving office amid outright hostility with the communist rebels, an issue that will fall to the next administration. The final promise we're going to look at has to do with infrastructure, an issue that has long dogged the Philippines, an archipelago nation of more than 7,000 islands with multiple metropolitan hubs known for horrendous traffic. In 2017, Duterte promised,
we will make a few years the golden age of infrastructure in the Philippines to enhance our mobility and connectivity and thereby spur development growth on equitable in the country. In other words, we are going to build.
His administration said it would increase government spending on infrastructure and has been eyeing some 100 projects, including a bridge system to connect the three main parts of the country. But as Duterte's time in office comes to a close, political analyst Richard Haydarian says it's been a mixed bag. While the big-ticket projects haven't really pushed ahead,
What I understand is that they're the non-big ticket infrastructure projects, more medium and small scale projects that have been actually kicking in, especially in the more peripheral regions, including Mindanao.
Haydarian notes that while Duterte never really had a cohesive vision for his infrastructure plan, the president's over-reliance on China may have also hurt him.
I think in many ways, perhaps he was taken for a ride. I think the Chinese promised him a lot. There was a lot of pledges, up to $24 billion in investments.
But to date, most of the Chinese-funded projects have yet to break ground. Haydarian predicts that because Duterte didn't do so well building, that may end up hurting his allies in the next election. But perhaps luckily for those filing for their candidacy this week, experts predict the pandemic and reopening the Philippine economy will likely be the dominant issues in 2022. For The World, I'm Ashley Westerman.